Virtual Breakaway Podcast with your hosts Nick and Junior and producer Vince, bringing you elite fantasy hockey information to help you win your fantasy leagues and win at life.
Episode 132 of the Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I'm co-host Junior, accompanied by co-host Nick and producer Vince. Merry Christmas to all. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas, a couple of days and a holiday break. Guys, how are we feeling? Are you stuffed, tired, fed up?
Not fed up. But tired for sure. It's been long nights compared to usual schedule.
I'm on vacation. This is great. I slept until 8 o'clock today.
Wow.
It's like the first time, I think, since my son was born, almost 5 years ago now.
You look like you woke up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, thanks. But how are the eyebrows, guys? Are the eyebrows okay? Are they too far apart here? You know, because...
We don't want to offend anyone with our eyebrows.
It's a fantasy hockey podcast, but, you know, the eyebrows are important.
Yeah, guys, look, it felt good to get back on back-to-back weeks of social media clips. I think the people missed us, man. I think the people missed us. They just want us to go viral. We got to keep going. We got to keep making headlines with our eyebrows.
But are you sure that it's viral, or is it just that everybody has viruses right now? And it's messing with their brains because my entire family's sick. Everybody's sick.
It's that time of year.
It's Canada. This time of year in Canada.
Well, you know what it is also this time of year and this time right now, today? It's time for the Odd Man Rush.
Got a nice segue. Well done, Junior. Well done.
The Odd Man Rush, where we take news, notes, and trends of the NHL and turn them into 30-second takes, which usually last 3 minutes. I'm hosting today, so it might actually last 30 seconds. This segment is sponsored, of course, by Sportira. You can visit their website, sportira.com, or follow them on Instagram at sportira.apparel for any team, uniform, or corporate apparel needs. All right, guys, let's start with probably the most prominent topic of them all, the World Juniors. I'll start off with a scary moment that happened in the USA game where Cole Hudson took a puck to the head. Seems to be doing well right now. That was a scary moment. But what I want from you guys, it's who have been the standouts for you guys so far this early in the tournament? Nick, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm very happy that it sounded like Cole Hudson actually rejoined the team after he was sent to the hospital and stretchered off the ice. Prayers and thoughts for Cole Hudson, and hopefully it's not something serious. He seems to have avoided major injury. Who has surprised me the most so far in the World Junior Championship? For me, it's Michael Hage. And I know he's a Montreal Canadian prospect, but that's not why. You know, people are going to say, oh, you're a homer for picking that. But the fact of the matter is that he has come out big in both games so far this year. I know that it was an overtime winner. He has two games played, two goals, two assists for 4 points. He has been a little bit of an eye opener for me. When I thought I knew he was going to be a decent NHLer, maybe middle six, maybe second line center that Montreal has been looking for a while. But right now, it looks like Michael Hage could actually be easily a top six player in the NHL, according to what I've seen from the eye test in this very short tournament so far.
All right, Michael Hage was a pretty good pick. Nick? Vince?
I'm going to go with the Czech Republic. I mean, they gave Canada a run for their money in the first game. Right now they have Thomas Galvis, who's leading the tournament in points. 2 goals, 3 points, 5 points. You're like, okay, it's only 5 points, but he's a defender. So, I mean, we were talking a lot about the Swedes, the Americans, and the Canadians, but, I mean, I think the Czechs want to put their name here, and they, I mean, the first game against Canada, they showed it. So I'd say the Czech surprised me.
Fair enough. I want to give an honorable mention to the Swedes. The Swedes look very dominant. I think out of the three top teams, the Swedes probably impressed me the most.
I think they're the odds-on favorite to be the gold medalist right now.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Not many would agree with you, but I think unbiased opinion is that's the right
one. I think just another honorable mention before we move on from the World Juniors. Zain Parekh was showing people that he's got the talent. Like, he did not start off very well in Calgary this year. Didn't seem like he was ready to be an NHLer, but against his own age group, he seemed to have dominated that first game, at least for Canada.
Yeah. And let's not forget, these guys are young, eh? So, like, you know, mistakes are made. They're still, like, maturing. I know the whole Porter Marton thing after he scored against Czech, when he tapped the Czech player's butt and stuff. Like, these are the type of mistakes that are going to happen in a tournament like this, and you hope they learn from it, because that's a no-go when you get into the NHL. But you can't stand up for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of this is part of the allure to watching these college kids, right? These young kids, is that they'll make mistakes. They're full of passion. They're full of energy, and you know, oftentimes they'll do very, very immature things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, back to the NHL, where things are a little mature, and a goalie in the Eastern Conference decides to make the mature decision and take a leave of absence to help whatever it is that is going on in his life. Linus Olmark takes a personal leave of absence, obviously to deal with personal reasons, personal issues, whatever that is. We wish him well. Guys, does this mean Marilainen is super relevant right now, or are you still staying away from that goaltending situation?
Well, who else do they have? I mean, you know, unless they go get someone, Marilainen is their backup, so they're not going to go get anybody else unless this Allmark thing is more serious than we know. I mean, if Allmark's going to be out for, instead of weeks, a few weeks, it's going to be months, then I do think they need to solve their goaltending. They need to do something with the goaltending situation. Right now, they just said leave of absence with no date of return. So I think right now he's the key fantasy play to do with Ottawa, because I still think Ottawa is a very good team without Allmark. But if this leave of absence is indefinite, then I think Ottawa needs to seriously look for a replacement.
Nick?
I just want to see if Matt Sogard is going to get a chance again, right? I mean, he's 25 years old. He's the next up-and-comer after Marilainen. So I just want to see if he gets some run here, something to keep an eye on.
Well, they called up, I've never heard of him, to tell you the truth, Hunter Shepherd. He's the call-up for the Ottawa Senators as a backing up Marilainen as we speak. I'm not sure if that means that Sogard is injured. Actually, Sogard is not an NHLer, according to Frozen Tools. He's not on an NHL roster.
Wow. Yeah, I saw him on the depth chart there, but
Hunter Shepherd is 11 games of Belleville, 316 goals against, but he's their goalie for Belleville.
Look, Marilainen's going to have to be much better if the Ottawa Senators want to keep their hopes alive for a playoff spot. Like Vin said, if this is long-term, they're going to have to go get some help. I don't think what they have right now will suffice. I forgot that bell after the first question.
Bing!
All right. Next, we need to talk about Vladar. I mean, we're going to stick with the goaltenders, but Vladar from Philly, 4 quality starts in his last 4 games, but unfortunately, only 2 wins. Are we seeing Vladar coming to his own behind the Philadelphia team, or is this just a flash in the pan for the season? Nick.
Well, I had found something very interesting about Dan Vladar, is that he has played 22 games so far this year. Do you know how many games he played last year for Calgary in total?
12?
30.
Wow.
So he's almost at his total from last year, and 22 games played means that he's getting the 1A start. So he's the majority of the starter right now for Philly. And because he's the majority of the starter, you know, you expect to see numbers that are decent. And 909 save percentage is very decent. 2.37 goals against average is very decent. 17 quality starts out of 22. Like, this is numbers of a starter. So I'm very surprised that Dan Vladar has been this consistent so far this year. Let's see if it continues in 2026. But his goal save above expected is 11.8. That's big. That's very, very big. So, I don't know. I'm excited for Vladar so far. He seems to be on a very defensively, like, well-coached defensively team. And I think it's making a difference for him.
Yeah, I think Philly brought him in just for this because they knew their goaltending situation wasn't set in stone. So they brought in Vladar, who has plenty of NHL experience. I mean, last year he could have played more games with Calgary if it wasn't for Wolf going on that crazy run that he went with, that he almost won the Calder, and they were in playoff contention. So Wolf was playing almost every game after that. But he's sure that he can hang in the NHL. Now this was his opportunity. At the beginning of the season, we didn't think Ersin was going to be Philly's number one without competition. So I think Vladar took this, is taking the bull by the horns and is running with it, and is showing that he could possibly be a number one. Now we would have to wait and see when we get to games 42 through 45 if he can keep this up or not, because he's never played, like Nick said, he's never played more than 30 games in a season. So that'll be something interesting to see. But this is just good for Philly because Vladar is taking over Kozlov, I think.
Kozlov, yeah.
Kozlov, they can keep him in the AHL and make him get his... Kolosov, they can make him get his work in the AHL and don't have to force him into the NHL. So I think this is a win-win situation for Philly and a great move from Briere.
Well, you know, let's just talk about Samuel Ersin for 2 seconds here, because he's the other goalie. He's only played 14 games. So, like, you could clearly see that the preference is Vladar. And Ersin's save percentage is 8.72. Like, it's not even backup numbers. This is horrible. He's still not doing well, Ersin. Whereas Vladar has been, like we said, 909 save percentage, doing much, much better.
Yeah.
So it's not just the team in front of him.
With goalies playing 14 games or more, Vladar's top 10 in save percentage. He's above guys like Gustafsson, Sorokin, Joseph Woll. So yeah. pretty impressive. Another goalie who's been pretty impressive of late, and perhaps the start of a rebound for this team that many had high hopes for. Joel Hofer in St. Louis has 4 quality starts in his last 4 games as well. Is he making Binnington expandable? And do you guys have hopes for St. Louis to rebound?
Expendable or expandable?
Oh, sorry, expendable. Oh, expandable too. Maybe you can eat some more. Now that he won't be playing as much.
Hey, the amount that we ate during Christmas break, yeah. Maybe expandable was the right word.
But after Binnington had the confrontation with his coach, we knew things weren't going well with Binnington, and we knew his time was up. St. Louis had nothing to lose to put Hofer in right now because they're just on a downfall. Do I think Hofer is going to make them what they did last year into a playoff team? No, because I think that team has a lot of holes that they need to repair. And I think if they want to start to retool, they need to start retooling this year with players that they have, like a Justin Falk, a Kairou, and try to get assets for them. Even a Binnington, and try to get assets for him. But he always was a promising goaltender. Especially on Dober, they always had him as a very high promising goaltender. I think at this point, the coach got enough of Binnington's shenanigans and decided to give him the helm, and he's doing well with it.
Yeah, like if we just spoke about 2 or 3 goalies back-to-back here, if you're a fantasy player and you're trying to look at the waiver wire to see who you would rather get, I think Vladar would be your number one if he's available out of those 3 guys that we spoke about. Because he just seems to be getting the majority of the starts, plus putting up good numbers. Hofer is getting the majority, or is like he's breaking even with Binnington, 21 games played as opposed to Binnington's 23 games played. But Hofer, the problem is that his team is not winning. It's not winning at all. So at least Philly seems to be winning a little bit more. So if wins count for your fantasy league, then maybe you prefer Vladar over Hofer moving forward.
Guys, St. Louis Blues have a goal differential of minus 35. That is the worst in the league. The second worst is minus 22. So the reason the Blues, I mean, that's not all credit to defensive structure. That's also credit to your goalies not being good, and they haven't been good. So the fact that Hofer has been good recently, I'm going to give you a bold take right now. I think the St. Louis Blues are making the playoffs. They're only 1 point behind the San Jose Sharks in the wild card spot. One point behind. They're 1 point behind the wild card spot with only Seattle and Utah in between. And if Hofer gives them the goaltending, they're getting healthy.
But
Neighbors came back.
They played an extra game. They have an extra game than San Jose.
There's still 40 games left.
And, yes, I know. And Seattle has three less games than them.
Okay, guys, let's be honest, though. The West is weak. There's Colorado up top. There's Vegas up top. And everybody else is pretty much not doing anything, right?
Like, well, no, Colorado, I think there's Colorado. Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Vegas are your concretes.
Yes, okay. Sorry, those West. Four.
But after but then, that, it's, yeah, after it's that, a big it's drop Wild, Wild West. That. Yeah.
Where, well, look, if you look at the East, like the last place team in the East, I think is only like 2 or 3 points out of a playoff spot. Like it's
4 points right now.
Okay, so either way, though, that's yeah. still a lot more parity in the East than the West. The West, yeah. you have those top four teams.
And you, then also, it's... you also have Winnipeg at 34 points in the West, that eight in the wild card, which you know is going to change at some point. But they don't have enough firepower, in my opinion, to
who's they?
St. Louis.
So, but okay, so what changed really from what we thought in the offseason? Because we all thought they were going to be much
fighting
better and likely, like Nick and I were convinced there would be a playoff team. You, Vince, were not convinced because we said teams like Utah and Anaheim would make it. So mm-hmm. how could St. Louis make it? Like, what changed? The team is the same.
Well, the last year they were on a hot run. Last year, at the end of the year, that's how they got into the playoffs, and all the other teams they were chasing decided to go on a cold streak. Because, like, even if you think St. Louis is gonna push to the wild card, they have the third least goals for. At the end of the day, you need to score to make a run.
Let's not spend too much time on St. Louis because they're also part of our midweek episode.
Okay.
But I agree with what Vince just said. Their goal scorers need to start scoring. And the biggest problem here, I think, is if you look at Kyrou and if you look at guys like that, you know, it's not enough. They're not giving enough. Snuggerud was injured. Kyrou isn't performing the way he usually performs. Holloway fell off a cliff.
Neighbors
fell off a cliff, right? So they're just not doing enough yet, but that could change. There's still a lot of time for that to change.
All right. The Montreal Canadiens have a 48% chance of making the playoffs, according to Dom Lecision's model. Toronto only 27% chance. What's more likely? The rise of Toronto making the playoffs or Montreal not making the playoffs? So I'm flipping the script a little bit. Like, are there better chances that the Canadiens regress? A negative regression for the Canadiens and a positive regression for the Leafs, or do you think things stay as is and Habs make it and Leafs don't?
Well, we've seen Toronto since they fired the coach and they gave a shot across the bow to the rest of the team that, hey, this isn't good enough. Ever since that moment, it seems that their power play started clicking. So it's more of a free-flowing system. There's more skating around. There's not just a stagnant stay in your position and shoot from that spot. So far, things in Toronto since that firing at least seem to have woken up the power play a bit. That needs to continue if Toronto has a chance of making the playoffs. And I agree with you, Junior. I think that they do have a shot. I'm not convinced that this is not a playoff team. I just don't... the power play just has to continue clicking since that firing for that to happen.
They need to go on some type of winning streak because Montreal is in a playoff spot. Toronto isn't, and there's one, two, three, four, there's six other teams ahead of them fighting for that same wild card spot that they want. I mean, they need, like, look, remember last week we were speaking on how Toronto was just, that Buffalo had just passed Toronto for second to last place? Buffalo right now is in a wild card position because they went on an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, they're tied with Florida for the second.
They're tied with Florida. So, especially in the East, it's so tight in the East, anything can happen, but they need to go on a winning streak. They can't go with two wins, one loss, and then a win and two losses. They need to put four or five games together where it's a winning streak so that they can separate themselves from the Boston Bruins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Rangers, and be higher up in the standings. So right now I'd say Montreal is better off. Toronto is better off has a better chance of not making the playoffs just because they have a uphill climb, where that Montreal does not have that uphill climb.
The Leafs will go as far as Matthews goes. And if Matthews doesn't turn it around, which the last couple of games he's been much better, if he doesn't turn things around and become the Matthews we know, the Leafs will not make the playoffs. Next, another team that's probably not going to make the playoffs, even though they started on fire, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Justin Brazeau has a hat trick on December 28th and is on a 67-point pace right now. Is he a buy candidate? Nick, I know you own him. You've been trying to trade him to bank and cash in on him while he's hot. But, you know, many people like me thought he'd probably fade, and he doesn't seem to be fading.
Yeah, I mean, I got him in Llama. So Llama's a little bit of a different league where in Llama you kind of have contracts. So I have him as on an expiring UFA contract right now, and that's the only reason that I'm really thinking about moving him. I mean, last year he played 76 games. He only had 11 goals. This year he has 11 goals in 23 games. So is it just a hard start? Well, we're kind of a quarter through the season already, almost a third of the way into the season. It's possible that, you know, he's found a home in Pittsburgh and it's going to continue, at least for this year. Who knows? The player himself is not young. He is 28 years old, or turning 28 any minute now, February 2nd to be exact. So he's a late bloomer. He's only $1.5 million in salary cap. So anybody in a salary cap league looking for a spot start here and there, Brazeau might be the type of player that you want to look at. His shooting percentage is high, 28%, you know. So, but he seems to be the type of guy that is, how do I say this properly? He didn't have a lot of playing time in the NHL, so he's only finding his way now. And he's a 6'6" player. Like, you know those tall, big guys? It takes them time to really find their groove. And high shooting percentages for guys that are around the net does make some sense.
Fair enough. Vince, do you want to add anything?
No, I'm good.
Well, here's a guy that has no problem being consistent, at least not as of late. We do not talk about this guy fairly enough. I know we spoke of him just recently a little bit, but at the pace he's going, it's hard not to talk about him. Shane Gostisbehere, tied for 9th in the NHL for defenseman scoring. He has 4 points in his last 5 games, pacing for 85 points. Guys, Vince, what can you tell me about Shane Gostisbehere? Is he becoming a legitimate must-have top five offensive defenseman for fantasy, or is this just an outlier year where everything goes right and then he goes back to being an average relevant fantasy defenseman but not top tier?
He's always been fantasy. I mean, 46 points, 39, 65 with Philly, with Arizona, 51, 31 in 52 games. He's always been a point getter. The thing is, he's been labeled as a power play guy, right? As a guy who's going to get his points on the power play. And we all thought with Nikishin coming in with Carolina, he was going to lose a bit of that, which he hasn't. So he's right now, he's at 29 points in 20 games. I don't see him getting 80 points. I don't see him as a point per game player or defenseman, even an outlier year. Can he have a career year this year? Yes. But at the age of 32, I don't see him. I see this as a one and done. So he'll get a career year this year and then next year go back to his norm or a little less because he is on the wrong side of 30.
Nick?
Well, if we look exclusively at the last 4 years of point pieces, you see that, you know, we had said that 45 points is pretty much top 20 for defensemen scoring in the NHL last year. You know, he had 53 points last year, so he was already in the top 20. He had 57 the year before that, again in the top 20. This year he's pacing for 85 points, which is obviously unsustainable. But he's always been a top 20 defenseman. So, like, to me, this is a type of player that at $3.2 million, you keep this guy and you laugh that everybody else does not consider this guy as a top point producer in the NHL. Does he rely too much on the power play? Who cares? Your fantasy league. You want points. Whether it comes on the power play or not, you care about the points only.
Out of 29 points, only 8 are on the power play. So he's producing 5-on-5. It's not just the power play, right?
Yeah.
In the past, yes, half of his points and more have been on the power play. But this year, it's a little bit different, and that's very encouraging. He still has a year left on his contract at 3.2. So, but like you said, he's always been top 20 defenseman. Now, just this year might be an outlier because he's like
in fringe, point piece.
He's
in
fringe top piece. Three, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think we could still expect easily 50 plus from him going forward, yeah. At least next year.
It's like Nick said, fantasy wise, he should be on your team. There's little defensemen that should be ahead of him fantasy wise. If you look at an NHL aspect on the ice, he's not your first pairing or second pairing defenseman. But fantasy wise, he should be your number one and number two defenseman for sure.
Well, fantasy-wise, this next team has been a little bit disappointing. But they seem to have turned things around. The Buffalo Sabres are on a tear since hiring Kekalainen as their GM and Marc Bergevin, Vince's favorite, as an associate. Led by Bowen Byram, Tage Thompson, Ryan McLeod, Krebs, and Dahlin. All on hot streaks, by the way. The Buffalo Sabres find themselves tied with the Florida Panthers for the second and final wildcard spot. What do we think of the Buffalo Sabres? Their players have been much better, but still not doing enough to validate their rankings in fantasy. I think we're at Nick. Nick, tell me, what do we make of this Buffalo Sabres team and the Jekyll and Hyde ride that they're bringing us on?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I think all of this turnaround, yes, it had to do with the GM getting fired. But more than the GM getting fired, I feel like it started really when Josh Norris came back from injury.
Yeah.
Because 11 points in 11 games so far. You know, he's a certified Band-Aid boy. He's a certified papier-mâché, loose-leaf paper. But when he's on the ice, this guy produces. So I kind of like Josh Norris and how he's done so far in Buffalo. I think it's worked out really well for the Buffalo Sabres when he's on the ice. So if he stays healthy the rest of the year, I think it gives Buffalo enough depth to really continue this kind of streak that they're on and show the fans in Buffalo that, hey, we're for real moving forward.
Vince?
Yeah, like a change in the administration always helps. It's like a coaching change or stuff always helps players. But I think Nick hit on the spot. With Norris coming back from injury, the teams can't just concentrate on Tage Thompson now or on one line. Now they become more of a two-line team where you can't just concentrate on defending one line because the second line can punish you also. And also their defensemen, the three defensemen, Owen Powers, Byram, and Dahlin, have started playing like where they were drafted. So this could be a very dangerous team. Like I said before, they're eight wins in a row, and because of those 8 wins, they're in a wild card position. So they're a team to watch for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, last game, Tage Thompson was playing with Peyton Krebs and Josh Doan. whereas Norris was playing with Alex Tuck and Ostlund. So it just goes to show that the depth now is a little bit better with Norris back for sure. And Krebs has been a little bit of a revelation lately.
Well, you know who hasn't been a revelation as of late? Elias Pettersson. And we can't do, well, I mean, the last couple of years, he hasn't quite been who we thought he was. But there's no Odd Man Rush segment without a bit of TMZ. So there has been rumors circulating that Elias Pettersson to Carolina makes a lot of sense. We've heard this rumor last year at the deadline after Carolina couldn't get, I forget who, and then traded for Rantanen. But during that whole saga, Pettersson was heavily involved with the Carolina Panthers. There's no rumor in place. There's no deal in place. It's just rumors. But would this make Carolina the best team in the East to come out of the East? Vince?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what has Elias Pettersson proven lately? That he can't score anymore and that he can't play hockey anymore, or that he's mentally fragile? I mean, Carolina can take him and he'll play on a second line, might produce for them, but I don't think it makes them better than healthy New Jersey Devils or healthy Tampa Bay Lightning or even a healthy Florida Panthers team. I think, if I'm Carolina, I would stay away from Elias Pettersson just because of that fragile mindset that he has. And we've heard it. It's not something we're making up. We've heard that his work ethic is not what it's supposed to be in the summertime. And that was one of the biggest problems he had out there. So will it make them a better team? Yeah, sure. It'll make them a better team. But I don't think it makes them the top contenders in the East.
Nick? You know what Carolina has? Palm trees. And Pettersson has never played in a place with palm trees. He's always been in Vancouver. And yes, I agree with you, Vince. I think a change in mindset is required for Vancouver, for Elias Pettersson. And a change in mindset might be sunshine, palm trees, maybe some coconuts here and there, might make Elias Pettersson a different scenery, a different player, a different aspect on the NHL and different mindset on life. Pettersson is uber talented. You're right, his work ethic and his mind seems to get in the way. He's not in a good place maybe right now. And I think that change of scenery is going to help him propel him back to maybe an 80-point player or point-per-game player, which he's done twice in his career. So for me, a second-line center of Elias Pettersson, a first-line center of Sebastian Aho, I think that makes you pretty much the best team in the East. They already have an incredible defensive core. They already have young guys coming through the ranks. Jarvis, Blake, you know, goaltending. They're getting it from Boosie. They're getting some from Kochetkov. So, personally, I think this is already one of the best teams in the East. And I think they would improve significantly if they become Elias Pettersson second line center, Carolina Hurricanes.
I mean, that's the position that's been hindering them the most, second line center. I mean, we can say that about a lot of teams, but they're tied with the Detroit Red Wings for 49 points, top of the East, with three games in hand. So they're already the best team in the East as we speak. Adding Pettersson is going to do wonders for that team if they're able to do so. The thing I'll add about Pettersson is he's going to go into a situation where he's not the alpha male. He's not expected to be the leader. He's not expected to run that offense. He's expected to play a secondary role to Aho. And I think that's going to do wonders for him. I think the pressure of being the guy offensively from a forward perspective was something maybe he couldn't handle as well as many thought or projected he would. I just want to add something about the Vancouver Canucks because I think it's very important for fantasy. They've been so bad. Their wingers have been so bad. Listen to these statistics. Brock Besser has one goal in his last 19 games. Brock Besser. Jake DeBrusque, one goal in his last 16 games. Connor Garland, one goal in his last 12 games. And Kane has one goal in his last 11 games.
Midweek episode, save some of that.
Holy moly, man. That's brutal. They're the leaders right now. They're the odds-on favorite to get McKenna. Or whoever they choose to go to. But if Vancouver's drafting first, I'm pretty sure they're going McKenna.
But and also, Patterson going to Carolina, it's a difficult system to play in. It's not a system where you're just going in and playing a free-for-all. I mean, that system does not produce a lot of point-per-game players. So I don't know how we see Patterson as a second-line centerman getting 80 points on a Carolina team that has the difficulty of their first-line players producing that. So I'd temper my expectations if ever it goes there.
You know, the highest scoring team in the league, or one of the top five highest scoring teams in the league, Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not, but their scoring is divided within nine players. It's not two lines bringing up their scoring. So that they're a well built team. They're an analytical built team. This is like, I don't have the things in front of me, but I'm pretty sure their third and fourth lines play more than any other third and fourth lines in the compared to any other NHL team.
Yeah, their fourth liners play 11 minutes. 11 minutes. Yeah, 11 minutes. And but I mean, their top players are still their top players, not a point per game necessarily, but anyhow, it's added depth. I mean, if you're going to replace a Kotkaniemi with Elias Pettersson, you're going to get more.
Yeah, you're improving. I mean, for sure.
Where is he? He has 6 points in 20 games. Like,
can we say Kotkaniemi was the biggest bust in a long time?
Don't say it.
Probably the worst offer ship. Probably the worst offer sheet ever.
Yes.
Don't say it to Buffalo fans because their assistant GM drafted him.
Yeah, that was a reach to begin with.
Don't draft need.
Never draft need.
Always draft talent.
Except if your team is the Oakland Raiders and you're doing the tank job of a lifetime.
Yeah.
In order to get Mendoza. One more loss, baby. One more loss.
The jaw-dropping moments that make hockey, hockey. Experience them all with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, this one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through or per-wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gambling resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved. That wasn't bad.
It was okay.
That was pretty good. I was impressed.
Oh, that's definitely not the right soundbite.
Let's go clubbing.
There we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the PBL.
Pebble.
So before we get into the scheduling and stuff like that, we had a winner for Boxing Day
of whoever
was going to be first, a prize for whoever was going to win. It was going to finish first in this period with the most points. And the winner of last week was Listener Umbi. So,
who misspelled his own name?
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that.
That might be my fault. That might be my fault.
Umni. It could be Nick's fault. So, Listener Umbi got a total of 110 points, 10.6. Now, remember when we say most games played doesn't really matter? Well, this week it really did matter. because Umbi's players had 25 games played. His fantasy points per game was only 4.42. Mike Valmora had 102 points, but his fantasy points per game was 6.05. His players only played 17 games. So this week is a segment where games played mattered much more than fantasy points, where players played less games. Because we had a few, we also had Ready to Play, whose fantasy points per game was 5.25. We had listener Cappy is 5.35. So listener Umbi, congratulations. We will contact you, obviously, since you are a brother and we know where you are. And to get you information and send you to work. And it was his birthday yesterday, so look at that. Yes. Great birthday gift for him.
Happy birthday, now, listener Umbi and listener Rook.
And listener Rooks. So this week, it's a more charge-up schedule. No days off. Last week we had, I think, Christmas and Boxing Day that was off. So we have a lot of games being played this week. I mean, Carolina Hurricanes have 5 games playing this week. They're playing Rangers, Pittsburgh, Habs, Avalanche, and Devils. So, I mean, I guess everybody's just going to stack their teams with Carolina players. But any other teams that you'd be interested in is Chicago, Colorado, Columbus, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, the whole NHL. Let's just go the other way, I guess. No, Capitals, Vegas, Canucks all have 4 games played, and everybody else is playing 3 games. So, I mean, if we're going with the strategy of scheduling people, picking players from teams with the most games played, Carolina is your go-to for this week. If we go with strength of schedule, let me see, strength of schedule. Obviously, Carolina, Chicago, Vancouver have the easiest scheduling, and that is followed by Pittsburgh, Florida, Vegas, and Montreal. So, if you want to stay within these means, these are probably the teams you want to stay within to pick your players. Let's start with Nick, since it seems like he's ready. What have you done this week, Nick?
Well, this week I decided to obviously grab some Carolina guys. And with Jarvis injured, a nice low contract is Jackson Blake taking his spot in Carolina. And we spoke about him before, but Gustav Bear has been doing very, very well. Another cheap contract at $3.2 million. Montreal is playing 4 times this week, so Demidov and Hudson are in my lineup. And I just like the way that Vegas has been doing lately. So I went out and I grabbed Thomas Hertl because Eichel has been injured for a while to be my number one center. And Sidney Crosby to be my number two center on that team. Matt Boldy has been doing great. I picked him up from Minnesota. And lastly, I went with Alexandre Texier as my last left winger because I needed to fill a spot. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention Wallstad as my goaltender because he has been absolute money in the bank with a $2.2 million contract. So that's what I'm looking at for this week in PBLL.
Junior?
Yeah, I want to point out St. Louis. I do feel like they're going to turn things around. I do feel like they've been playing better. Hofer, who seems to have taken the starting job away from Binnington as of late, at only $3.4 million could be a really reliable goalie this week. They only have one set of back-to-backs, which is Vegas-Montreal on the Friday-Saturday. They play Buffalo-Colorado as well. So I think Hofer has a good chance here of getting 2 wins. And maybe to throw in a guy like Snuggerud or Jake Neighbors, those are good, young, small contracts that you could fit into your lineup for the week. And I like Winnipeg. I know they've been reeling of late. They can't seem to win a damn game. But if there's a week to turn things around, if there's a week to score a lot of goals, it's going to be this week. Edmonton Oilers, Detroit Red Wings, Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators, who don't even have a goalie. So keep an eye on the Winnipeg Jets for this year, for this season, for this week. For this week, I really like that matchup. that
very
schedule.
Nice. Because I'm lower in the standings, and I know a lot of players are going to go with, a lot of listeners are going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm going to try to stay away from the Carolina Hurricane players this week, but I'm going to stack my team with Colorado players. They play four games. Their schedule doesn't look as hefty as that. And I mean, they got two losses, the guys. So I'm going to stack with Colorado players, and hopefully a McKinnon-McCarr combination can bring me up in the standings a little higher.
Okay, so you brought up an interesting point very quickly. Is this, are we at that point where you need to start thinking about that? Oh, everybody's going to take Carolina, so maybe I should take something else to try to make up that gap? Or I think we're still getting enough points week to week that maybe you don't have to necessarily think like that yet. Maybe like after the Olympic break is what I was thinking. But now that you mentioned it.
You don't have to think of it right now, but it depends how low in the standings you are. So like I'm lower in the standings. So to me, I'd rather get ahead of schedule before everybody starts thinking the same way. So that's why. But like I said, it all depends on how you feel. Some people are not like right now, and this is right now, I have three teams in this league, and my team that's the highest is the team that I have never touched. It's a I have had the same lineup since week one that I've never touched, which is bothering the shit out of me all the time because I go crazy doing the lineups for the other two teams, and the results are to the lineup that I haven't touched. So, it's breaking my balls, let me tell you.
So, Vince's lineup that he hasn't touched, it's Max D, right?
Yeah.
Macklin Celebrini, Nathan MacKinnon, Kyle Connor, Morgan Geeky, Ivan Demidov, Alex Tuck, Lane Hudson, Matthew Schaefer, and Dustin Wolf.
Yeah. The only one I've touched is, I think I put in Tuck because the player I had there before got injured.
I mean, these are all consistent point producers, you know, and the young guys are going to have their lulls. Like Demidov, he's hot and cold sometimes, but yet still in the corner.
Demidov is hot and cold, but still leading all rookies in scoring right now.
Yeah, but you could tell now, like since Slafkovský's joined that line, he looks dominant. Both of them look really, really impressive.
Yeah, Slafkovský's been doing absolutely great. Ever since being paired up with Demidov. And it's not so much he's not just winning because of Demidov. He's setting up. He's driving the play. He's doing a lot of the work.
He's asking for the puck, you know?
I think the thing with Slafkovský was that he felt a little intimidated playing with Caulfield, Suzuki, because they drive, especially Suzuki drives the play. On the second line with Demidov, I see that he looks more comfortable driving the puck, and his intangible with Demidov is incredible. And then you have just Kapanen keeping steady as a centerman. So it's a wonderful thing to see for Montreal fans.
I think the perception that people were putting in his head, and that he even said himself that he wanted to be more like Brady Tkachuk, I think that hindered him more than anything else, because he's got a bit more skill. He's got more skill than a Tkachuk. Might not have the finishing ability that Tkachuk has. They're different players, but I don't think Slafkovský is a Matthew Tkachuk, if you get what I'm saying. Brady Tkachuk, excuse me. So,
And to Vince's point before, just to wrap up the episode here, I have three teams in this league. Zeus is the one that I put all five games played guys in. Like four games played, five games played, majority of schedule. Poseidon is a little bit of a mix of both. And Hades is the one I barely touch. And Hades is doing the best out of all three of them. So it's just funny how, you know, this league could win in many different ways.
Yeah.
Guys, don't forget to, if you listen to this part, you've obviously listened to the whole episode. But going forward, if ever you can listen to the whole episode, you be sure to follow us on our social medias, TikTok, X, Instagram, @PartialBreakPod. Subscribe on YouTube. Comment, engage. A lot of people are commenting from different fan bases about different things. Join the conversation. Join the discussion. For the main part, it's been it's been a pretty safe environment for everyone, for the most part.
Except for Nick's eyebrows,
which, I mean, there's worse things than having eyebrows too far away from each other. You know what, Nick? We're going to color them in for next episode to make everybody happy.
I was thinking about it, you know? Just put a little bit more black ink over here. You know?
Yeah, black and white, I think, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the old man, by the way. I don't know if you noticed.
Guys, Nick and Vince are going to be away, so I wish you guys a safe trip. Enjoy your break. Don't take too much sun.
We have a midweek episode coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll do it myself if it is.
I'll wish you well then.
Yes. Wish me well then.
Then. Have a good week, everybody.
Have a great week, guys.
Oh, wait. Where's the joke of the day?
Oh, man. The joke of the day. Man.
It better be a good one.
It better be a good one.
Cut the music. Cut the music.
You guys, man. You completely, joke of the completely day. Took me off guard. I know. It's coming.
What happened to the chicken when he crossed the road? That's your son. That's all he was saying last night.
That's all he was saying. Yeah, I know. I think I rubbed off of him. But...
Your son says Raiders a lot, too.
Raiders. Hey, he was cheering on the 49ers last night. I could tell you that much.
Oh, yeah?
What a game. Our defense is abysmal, but what a game.
Oh, you guys actually helped us because by beating that team, your strength of schedule or something like that helped us out a lot.
Really?
Making sure that we're the worst team in the league.
Why can't your nose be 12 inches long?
Because yours is?
Because then it would be a foot.
That was pretty good.
That one was worth the wait. It was worth the wait, Vince.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
We'll see you guys on the Fantasy Lens. Take care.
Peace.